Monster Movie Media presents.
And welcome to episode 59 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And coming up on this episode, Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls joins me as we debate which attractions that are creepy and appear at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World are the best. So, without any further ado,
let's begin.
Okay, I'm here with Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls. Hi, Michelle.
James, what a pleasure to be speaking with you.
Thanks for coming on once again. Now, do you have a title, a Creepy Kingdom title? Because a lot of our contributors do.
Do you know, I was speaking to Roxy about this and I haven't got a title yet. And because I passed the 5 appearances rule some time back, I really could do with a title.
All right. So what is your title? Did you come up with it?
I think I want to be Her Minxliness.
Her Minxliness, Michelle. Her Minxliness. That's a tongue twister, but I'll get it out.
Yeah.
I accept it. Her Minxliness. We'll go with that. All right. So, what we're going to do today, it was sparked by some conversations you and I had, just personal conversations, comparing attractions in both Walt Disney World and Disneyland. And you and I both have lots of opinions about this, as we have experienced both very recently, although it seems like it's been forever since you've been to Walt Disney World. When's the last time that you were actually there?
End of 2013.
All right.
I know. It's not too far away. 18 months.
All right, it's not that bad. I thought you were going to stay longer than that. Because it seems like all your trips to the parks have been Disneyland, which is still crazy to me because that's so far away from where you live.
Yeah, it kind of is, but isn't, because the flight is only another 2 hours. So
2 hours? It's 6 hours to fly across the United States.
Yeah, but when you imagine how we fly from the UK, we go up to the bit at the top of the globey thing, and okay, you don't have to travel as much mileage there, and then you pop down. So
I did not know this. Interesting.
So yeah, it's kind of, you sort of fly over Greenland and all that malarkey. So really the difference in Walt Disney World and California for me is only about 2 hours.
Well then, that's acceptable. All right. It's worth the extra 2 hours.
Yeah, and it's fun to be bi-coastal.
You definitely are, I'm telling you. You've been to Disneyland more this year than I have, and I live in the country. So, not this year, 2014, yeah. I mean. Yeah,
I haven't yet been this year, and I am suffering because last year I went at Easter, and I'm not going at Easter, and I'm starting to have palpitations thinking I'm not going, so I had to book a cheap trip to go to Disneyland Paris. So that'll tide me over.
Right, sometimes you got to tide yourself over. You know, it's not quite the same experience, but it's just a little taste. So you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. So Yeah, we are going to talk about some of the creepy attractions that are at both parks, and we're going to weigh in on which one we think is better.
Ooh.
So we're obviously going to start where everyone expects us to start. I'm not going to left field everyone with this one. We're going to start with the Haunted Mansion, which is, I know I've expressed opinions on this on the show before, but let's get it officially on record. So, Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
What are some of the differences right off the bat is the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
Disneyland's version looks really nice outside. It's in New Orleans Square, so it has an old southern look to it. And it looks nice because that's the way Walt wanted it. No, because but it's true. Because he was saying, you know, the outside should look nice and neat. It's like, we'll take care of the outside and the ghosts take care of the inside. And what do you think about the exterior?
I think it's beautiful. Both parks have a very different take. And I think the Disneyland exterior is very imposing as you're going up to it, because it just looks, if you're just at the steps as you're about to go into the ride, it looks like it's a never-ending building. Those massive columns are quite the thing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's a beautiful building. Wouldn't mind living there if it had my kind of interior rather than that kind of interior. Although I could quite go with the ballroom scene. And I suppose many people have said that I am a little bit like the sort of bonkers bride in the attic, although I haven't killed my ex-husbands, I just divorced them.
Well, yeah, we don't want to say anything incriminating on the show here.
No, they're all still breathing, I promise.
All right.
At time of recording.
At time. Man, I love when your creepy side comes out, Michelle. So, which one do you prefer? Which one do you think is better?
Oh, God, don't ask me that. Because, to be honest, the first Haunted Mansion I came across was the Walt Disney one. And I love it. I love the Walt Disney World one. I love the queue where you get to go around the interactive element where you can press, you know, all the annoying kids play all the bits and the stiff upper lip tourists who don't realise they do things just walk past them, and I like going and touching stuff and then using my antibacterial gel on my hands to make sure I don't pick up the plague off anybody who's been touching the things. And I like the fact that you're actually in your doom buggy when you're going through the portrait gallery. It seems to me I like that element better than Disneyland. But however, Christmas, I got to see the most awesome makeover of a attraction, and I got to see the Nightmare Before Christmas take over of the Haunted Mansion, and it blew my mind. It really did. Like, when people had sort of talked to me about it, oh, it's awesome, go watch for YouTube. I said, no, I'm not watching it on YouTube.
No,
I'm going to see it in person. I even banned you from taking pictures and putting them on your Facebook.
You did?
Because I did not want any spoilers.
Yeah, I was there like a few weeks before you were getting there. And, and just because of Michelle, I couldn't post anything Christmas, actually.
Yeah, true. Yeah, Christmas was banned in James's world, the power the minxness has over him. And I just basically went in and sat in the doom buggy, and I was just awestruck because it completely blew my mind. The fabulous gingerbread house. I thought the gingerbread house was outside the house.
Oh.
I didn't realise it was on top of the dining table, spoiler alert. And then everything in the attic scene had just literally been taken out and replaced, and it was so amazing. It took about 6 or 7 times round for me to really absorb everything. So although I prefer the Walt Disney World version itself, because Disneyland has the Halloween Christmas makeover, if I had to choose one to go into my ultimate Disney park, I would go with Disneyland because I know I can get a different retelling of a similar story, the Disneyland version.
Oh, that's a good tiebreaker there. So I accept that.
Yay.
So, I mean, this is a tough one. This is the hardest one. We're starting off hard, of course. I like the Disneyland's exterior. I like that because Disney World's, it's a little creepier. It's not super creepy, but it's a little more menacing looking. I like the bait and switch that it doesn't look creepy, and then you go inside and it's super creepy. I like that a lot.
But you don't actually get to feel the one at Walt Disney World as close up, do you? Because it just, to me, it's the house in the distance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Disneyland, you're actually going through the front door and it actually does feel more like you are in the house.
Yeah, actually, yeah. It does feel like you walked into the front door of a house. That is quite a difference from the Magic Kingdom version. So, yeah, the Magic Kingdom version seems like you've walked into the dungeon or something.
With the servant going in the back door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's a twist there. I actually disagree with you about the changing portraits. I love walking by the changing portraits in Disneyland as opposed to being in the dune buggy. And mostly this because this ties back to my first experience going on the Haunted Mansion, which was going at Disneyland, which I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea what was going on. You know, the stretching room was caught me off guard. And then we got off the ride, and I'm like, where are we going? I mean, we got off the elevator. I'm like, where are we going? You know, and then we're walking down this hallway. I didn't know where we were going to. And those portraits changing, along with the bust following you, that has captured my imagination even to this day. I want changing portraits in my house. Like, I don't know how to pull that off so without them just being TV screens, but I loved those just to change all the time. So I love that. Night Before Christmas makeover. I didn't even factor that in really, but I'll give it to you because that is an advantage. Probably one of the biggest advantages there is that they have not officially announced it. So I don't like to say things are on record until they're officially announced, but, you know, the rumors are strong. The Hatbox Ghost is returning to the Disneyland version. They put something in the attic, like a fake window that's covering up a part of the attic. And the rumors are that they're installing it or whatever they're doing behind there. So, and they did have that Hatbox Ghost animatronic that they showed at D23, what year was that? 2013, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been 2011, actually. I don't remember which one they had at. But so, you know, there's something going on there. Walt Disney World, like, a lot of people prefer Walt Disney World because it has more things in it. It has the library scene, and it has the endless stair room.
Mm-hmm.
I could take or leave those rooms. Those don't really do anything for me. I like the hitchhiking ghost at the end of the Magic Kingdom version. The new ones that they installed a few years ago.
Yeah,
they're
cool.
I think it's cool. I enjoy those where they take your face and blow it up like a balloon. And it is. I mean, it's fun to experience the classic version of it because that was. But a lot of this stuff, in my affection towards Haunted Mansion, comes from nostalgia. It's hard to separate from it, but
yeah, true.
You know, but I like the new Hitchhiking Ghost. I like the queue that you mentioned, and probably one of the biggest contenders for Magic Kingdom's Haunted Mansion is how amazing it is during Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Something that does not happen at Disneyland. But all that being said, got to go with the one that won my heart first. My first love, the Disneyland version.
Aww. We're in agreement. Aww. Mentioning the stretching portraits, you wouldn't have been able to get the ones that were on offer last year. Last August, they brought out this introductory promotion, etc., to do with the Haunted Mansion's anniversary at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Where if you went to certain eateries around Disneyland itself, you could have got four posters by just paying £5 every time you spent, sorry, $5 every time you spent $30 or more on a counter service lunch. And they are so cool. They are really good quality because they're printed on like parchment rather than, not parchment, like a plasticky type, but
right.
not
it's
plasticky
thicker.
Type. It's
yeah.
thicker. Mm-hmm. For $5, I've got the four of them. I'm just waiting to get them framed, which would probably cost about £3,500 because they're so big and finding a big room to put them up in. But they were quite cool for a $5 sort of add-on to a meal.
So you had to spend $30? Is that what you said?
Yeah, you had to spend $30 in one of the eateries. So one of them was Rivervale Terrace. And because I was there with Kieran, $30 for two of us wasn't a big issue.
Right, yeah. If you're paying for two people, I guess that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But for one person, that could
add
up.
Or you could have lurked by the till, and when somebody said, I don't want it, offer them $5 to buy it for you.
Yep. That seems creepy.
Yeah, I did it. It's okay.
You did it? Okay.
Disney said you couldn't.
Okay. Well, it'd be creepy if I did it. It's not creepy if you do it, I'm sure. But
yeah, because I'm her minxliness. I'm allowed to do these things.
Right. If I was just standing around there going, hey, you going to get that poster? Here's $5.
They'd have dropped the dinner and ran off.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. But anyways, that's cool. the posters are there, just so we're clear, they're the Fab Four or Five.
They
are,
yeah.
In the stretching room, posing as the people on the stretching room portraits.
Yeah. The mini one is awesome. It's really cool. I can't wait to get that put up. I have actually got two of the mini ones, and I was going to give one away as a giveaway on my show, but I haven't got round to doing that yet, so I suppose I better get myself sorted.
Am I eligible to enter this giveaway? No, I'm just kidding. I know, I'm not eligible. All right.
James, of course you are eligible. You're a listener.
All right, I am. Excellent. All right, let's move on to our next one here. And it is the Pirates of the Caribbean, or Caribbean, depending on where you're from. All right. So, what are your thoughts on this?
I love Pirates. It is awesome. Obviously, again, the first time I experienced Pirates was at Walt Disney World, and I think the first couple of times I rode it, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, not getting this. And I think I was just sort of sat there expecting it to entertain me in a different way than it actually entertains me, if you know what I mean by that. Sorry, I'm not probably explaining it very well. But after a few rides, I started, oh, yeah, okay. And I started looking at the details because there is a lot of detail to it. And I absolutely fell in love with the attraction. Now, when I went over to Disneyland and went on theirs, it just sort of blew Walt Disney World out of the water because...
No pun intended.
Yeah. Just basically because the extra scenes you've got the double dip, you get wet. Tell you what, the last time I went on the Disneyland one, I got absolutely chuffing soaked. And it was cold because Christmas this year in Anaheim was freezing. You know, I'm from Britain. It's 0 degrees outside. I'm used to cold. But I was in Anaheim shivering. And wow. It goes on Pirates of the Caribbean at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I had to go buy a coat to warm up.
Wow.
Because I'd sat at the front. We must have had a heavy portion at the front, i.e. me. And we sort of got soaked on the double dips. And, yeah. But yeah, I love it. I love the Pirates Lair bedroom scene. I just think it's so decadent with all the beautiful big bed and all the jewels and gems everywhere. And then the shipwreck. And then, oh, I just love it. Absolutely awesome.
So is your pick Disneyland?
Yeah, my pick's going to be Disneyland, just because it has the additional elements. The only thing I don't like about it is the queue, because it spills out over into New Orleans Square and into that whole area. And if you're not wanting to ride pirates, you can't actually get past it because it's so busy, so overcrowded. So that is a downside for me. But everything else I really, really love about it.
So, yeah, no, I it's funny. I feel there's just no comparison. I mean, my first Pirates experience was Disneyland. And when I went to the Magic Kingdom one, I was like, huh? Like, what happened? Like, what's going on here? You know, like I feel like I got ripped off in comparison. I mean, so we got two drops. Okay, you know, that's cool. That's give or take. But the second one of the drops that with the lights on, that is a cool scene. That cave. Oh, I love it in there. That's cool. But the overall, the whole beginning of the ride being a slow lead up to going where the pirates are, I think that is brilliant. I think that really helps get you in the mood. It's not as abrupt, you know, and it, you know, it makes the ride longer as well. So that I think that's really awesome. And everything you just said, everything that's in the Pirates layer beforehand is great. You know, it really, like I said, really gets you in the mood.
Yeah. And what about the fact you've got a restaurant you can sit in watch people, you know, Blue Bayou, and the food is amazing quality food as well. You know, you can't go wrong with going in there for a mint julep, whether you choose a steak, whether you have the Monte Cristo, it's good quality food. And just to be able to shout out silly things to the people on the boats is really good fun.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, that was definitely one of my favorite restaurants to go to. I mean, as a kid, meaning when my parents would take me there and pay for it, because
I'm still a kid,
but I just say I didn't have money to go there on my own as a kid. My parents don't take me to the parks anymore, so I got to shell the money myself. Yeah, Blue Bayou, that's amazing. Love that. And even within the ride, once you actually get to the, you know, down to the pirate area, that extra scene at the end is so cool, where it looks like everything is about to start crashing down on you, and then there's one last little shootout between two people going on either side of you. I think that's cool. And then the descent up the waterfall, you know, that really helps you, like, say, like, no, I'm really leaving this world. I feel like Walt Disney World is, like, way too abrupt. You know, like, you're sitting there waiting to get off as Johnny Depp is singing to you, and then a few feet beyond that, you get off. You know, that's kind of weird. You know, you did mention the queue. The queue is better in Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's a point for that. And another point is, at Magic Kingdom, they have the mermaid projections and the mermaid skeleton. I like the mermaid projections. I've heard people say they don't like them, or they don't work, or whatever. I think that the mermaid projections are pretty creepy. Because have you experienced them?
Yes.
Yeah, they're very subtle, and that's what I like about it, is that you see something out of the corner of your eye, and then it's like a little splash of water goes right next to you. I think that's cool. Mermaids were probably my favorite thing about Pirates of the Caribbean 4, and I wish they were in it more. So I'm into the whole, you know, the real mermaids, you know, the you know, seductress, you know, Black Widow type that actually trap and kill sailors. Like, I think, you know, so it's cool to have that actually represented, not just Ariel, you know, who's a fun-loving mermaid. So, but that being said, there's just absolutely no comparison. Disneyland takes it every time. Like, I want to meet the person that says Magic Kingdoms is better. Like, I want to, if you're listening and you think that, email in. We need to have a conversation about why you think Magic Kingdoms is better.
The only element of the Magic Kingdoms I personally think is better is the queue.
Right, yeah, that's why I gave a point to the queue. The queue does...
That's it.
Yeah, it's like you're going down into a cave, and that's cool. But in a Disneyland, obviously you said it spills out, which is, you know, not a good cue. But even when you're in there, it still seems like you went into a house in New Orleans, right? You know, or New Nolens, excuse me. it does, you know, but that's okay because that's where the ride starts. You kind of start out at the Blue Bayou restaurant, so you're, and then there's the people sitting by the stream, and they're, you know, catching fireflies and all that. So it fits that theme of New Orleans, but it doesn't really fit a Pirates theme, I guess.
Yeah. What do you feel to the addition of Jack Sparrow?
I don't mind it. I think that the way they incorporated Jack Sparrow was fine. Being as the films were so huge, I felt that for non-Parks fans like us, and probably the people listening, that, you know, if they go to Disneyland or any of the parks, you know, casually, and go on that attraction, and they see no reference at all to the films, that would be pretty bizarre.
Yeah, true.
So with that being said, it's like, I don't really mind it, to be honest.
Okay. I'm curious because when I go to Paris, I'm going to obviously go on the Pirates of the Caribbean, which doesn't have any Jack Sparrow influence on it. It is the original incarnation.
Hmm.
So it would be quite interesting for me to compare and contrast the two.
Yeah, it's hard to remember a time without it. I mean, it was only 2006, but it's still... So, yeah. We'll have to ask you about that.
But obviously, you've missed one big major point, James.
Uh-oh.
Obviously, Disneyland is going to win, especially if it's going to be this summer, because you're not going to be able to ride it in Walt Disney World.
You're right. I did miss that point. Yes. Magic Kingdom is going to be down for 3 months or something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be busy time for them to put down a ride.
Yeah, especially that one. I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed people, but I wonder what they're going to do with it.
Well, they've sort of said that there's some sort of issue. Obviously, the incident was triggered off by the guy who had the loss of his fingertips.
Right.
And there's been reports of people having unacceptable levels of splash from the new boats that they put in. So, you know, obviously draining it down, storing the water elsewhere, having a look at the underneath track to see if that needs adjusting. I don't know.
So it's probably all maintenance. Nothing really cool is going to show up in there, probably.
No, I don't think they're going to sort of like sneak in something from the next Pirates film or anything like that. I just think it's just going to be making, you know, some safety adjustments and ride comfort improvements.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for more mermaids.
You'll go on the ride next time. It'd be a mashup of Pirates of the Caribbean meets Ariel, the Little Mermaid, the Journey Under the Sea.
Right. Well, that'd be too much. Too much mermaid. I want more evil mermaids. More, not Ariel. This would be clear.
And I know I'm sort of going on to a different park here. Have you read anything about what they're proposing for Shanghai?
I have a little bit here. So that attraction is going to be based solely on the films. And I don't remember much else about it. Do you have more information than that?
So looking at the pictures I've seen, the Shanghai version, oh my word, it's going to be based on Pirates of the Caribbean Battle for the Sunken Treasure. Totally e-ticket. It's going to be in the Parks Treasure Cove Island, and it's going to have a combination of new technology and innovation, and will take guests on a pirate adventure with Captain Jack Sparrow and Captain Davy Jones, providing an experience unlike anything else in the world. Now, there's some pictures that I've seen of two ships side by side with a tiny track that sort of weaving in between. I wonder if you're going to be in between a cannon fire battle here.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on there.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely awesome.
It seems like it's really close. I guess with pirates, you don't really get that close to the action, really. I mean, there's a few, when you go into a bridge, you might feel that, but this seems like you could almost touch the ships. So, if you're Shanghai itself, they haven't announced too much information, but this is seeming like this might be an amazing park. They're not just doing the same old thing again. So I'm really can't wait for more information to come out about this park when it opens.
Totally. Sorry about sort of digressing off on that one, but I thought it was worthwhile mentioning while we're on the topic of pirates.
Spring 2016, huh? All right. Well, we got a year.
Get saving.
Start saving your Disney dollars. All right. Do they even have those anymore? Disney dollars? Do you remember those?
I do. I've got a couple lurking around the house somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if they have those anymore. I never see them anywhere. But everyone uses their credit cards anyway. And now they want you to spend using the Magic Band, of course. But
not in Disneyland.
For now. Anyways, it's hard for me to hide my disdain for all of those things.
Yeah. So we've done Pirates, we've done Haunted Mansion. What would you like to compare next?
We're going to check into the Hollywood Hotel. And of course, I'm talking about the Tower of Terror, which is at Disney California Adventure at the Disneyland Resort and at Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. Michelle, what do you think?
Ooh, well, I love it. I must admit, the first time I went to Walt Disney World, I was talked out of going on it.
Really?
And, yeah, I was told, oh, it's brutal, it'll really hurt your back, it's not pleasurable, blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, the type, you know, drop rides for me, I really hate them, especially when you can see all around you and you can see your feet going up and down, you know, like Doctor Doom's fall tower over at Universal in Orlando. I just couldn't even look at that without wanting to vomit. So I quite happily missed it. But the second time I went, I said, no, I want to go on the Tower of Terror. I want to experience it. And it suddenly became my ultimate favourite must-do umpteen time ride. I absolutely adore it. The minute you walk through the gardens in Walt Disney World, you are transferred into a beautiful, lush green oasis. But the fountain hasn't got any water. Mm. The concrete has got cracks. Something strange has happened here. And the intrigue is starting and the suspense is starting to build. And then you go in to the hotel entrance lobby way and there's the eerie background music. And it genuinely does feel like you are going into a hotel lobby from that period. And nothing's been touched.
Nope.
Everything's covered in cobwebs and it looks amazing. And then you're going into the library and the Rod Sterling video comes up, which links it to the TV show. Mm-hmm. And then you're going into the boiler room. It really is, in my opinion, a classic example of Disney immersive Imagineering. And it is so incredibly creepy and eerie.
Amen.
Yeah. I could
have said it better myself.
And to be honest, you know, if you're going to be a cast member, for me personally, I would love to be a cast member at the Tower of Terror because I think some of the cast members I've come across have played the part so fantastically. Like you're all sat in the little seat and you've done your seatbelt and they start a sentence poking the head through the elevator door and then the door closes halfway through it and I just think, wow, you've just knocked it out of the park. You've just up-leveled this experience by your interaction with me and it is amazing. I love it. The 199 feet of the Florida one is amazing. Amazing. Mm. So you've got, you know, it's a teeny weeny weeny difference between that and Disneyland. Disneyland is only 183 feet. So there is a slight difference between the two.
Not noticeable, but yeah.
Yeah. And you've obviously got the difference when you're going up in the lift shaft and you have the different experience then.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have the different experience with regards to the drops, because obviously in Walt Disney World, they are randomized completely drops. You never know what you're going to get. And to me, that is why it is superior to Disneyland's, because every ride you get is different. However, let's give credit where credit is due.
Okay.
Disneyland is a good ride. They have the mirror effect, which I think is really cool. But it's the same ride every time. And also, because you don't have that long, windy entrance to the hotel, you're just literally walking straight off the road into the lobby. You don't have the same feel.
Not at all.
You're not being transferred into the time and era as effectively. So the story has a very abrupt beginning.
I mean, yeah, well, let's be fair. The whole walk down Hollywood Boulevard towards it, that's when it really starts.
True.
You know, because I think Hollywood Boulevard and Hollywood Studios is amazing. And it's that whole time period. It's almost like the queue for Tower of Terror starts as soon as you make that right turn walking down Hollywood Boulevard. because it's you're just so drawn to it right there. So it definitely adds to the experience. You know, you start anticipating it right away. You know, I don't think you get that same experience at DCA. I mean, you can see it from the street, but you don't really walk up to it from a distance.
True. Your view of it is quite a way at a distance, which I see your point of view, because what's near to it? Rock and Roller Coaster. You know, a bit of a time shift there.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the end of Hollywood Boulevard. That's not part of Hollywood Boulevard.
That's a side street nobody ever goes down.
Yeah, don't go down that street. Well, don't tell that to Roxy. Roxy said that's her Rock and Roller Coaster's her favorite Walt Disney World ride that she must ride multiple times. So I guess she's an advocate for that ride. But the main thing here for me, did you say your pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Walt Disney World.
Okay, because of that, right. The main thing here, which you did not mention, is the fifth dimension. Hey, that rhymes. You did not mention it's the fifth dimension. That is only at the Hollywood Studios version, and it is incredible. essentially, for you Disneyland people, the ride starts, and as you expect, you'll be like, oh, we're going to go up, because that's what I keep seeing happen. I keep seeing people, you know, screaming at the top. So obviously we're going to go up, but nope, you don't go up. You go forward. And the first time that happened, my first ride, that blew my mind. And you go forward, and then it's like you're in outer space when it's literally transporting you to the Twilight Zone through the fifth dimension.
Oh, can I say the lines?
Yes, go for it.
One stormy night long ago, five people stepped through the door of an elevator into a nightmare. That door is opening once again, and this time it's opening for you. And then it goes on. You are about to discover what lies beyond the fifth dimension, beyond the deepest, darkest corner of imagination, in the Tower of Terror.
Wow, you memorized all that. Very impressive.
Hey, if I can teach my kids at school to remember Wordsworth the Daffodil word by word and it goes on forever, I can manage a few Rod Serling lines.
Okay. Fair enough. So, I mean, you got the walk up, the queue. Now, the DCA lobby, there is some... Is there any cobwebby things in there? I don't really remember.
Yeah, it's very similar to the Hollywood Studio of Incarnation.
Okay, yeah, I might have. I don't know if I only wrote it once when I was there, and I don't know if I got like Fast Pass or something. I just don't remember like seeing all that. So I don't know if I bypassed all that stuff or not. I don't know, but. And it's a boiler room at DCA too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But they've got two levels at DCA. You can go upstairs or downstairs.
Oh, okay, I remember that now, yeah.
I hate going upstairs. My legs are too lazy.
But that being said, coming up seeing the mirror and the ghost in there, that is cool. That was unexpected when I wrote it, but got to give it up. Got to give a point to Walt Disney World on this one.
Yay. Although we might not be calling it Hollywood Studios much longer anyway, so we might have to edit that bit out.
Well, they're not changing the name yet.
Yeah. Bob Iger seemingly accidentally confirmed a name change for the studios during a Q&A portion of today's Disneyland shareholders meeting.
That happened today?
Yeah. He's not announced what the new name's going to be, but he kind of sort of dropped it in. He was hinted at it was going to have a new name.
Well, I'm really curious to know what that is. I didn't know that news. You just dropped some news there.
Okay.
All right. You're really on top of this stuff here.
That's why you need to listen to my new show, James.
I listen. You didn't record. I mean, you might have mentioned that by the time this episode comes out, but as of the time recording, you haven't mentioned that on your show. So.
True.
Oh, boy. Yep, that's another conversation there.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to our last thing that we're going to be talking about today. And it is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Whoop, whoop.
So, what are your thoughts on the two versions of this attraction?
Well, as a Brit coming from the UK, this ride is quite heavily featured in the advert we get in the UK.
So,
to actually get to ride it was quite amazing. It's a fantastic story. I love it. Absolutely love it. Comparing the two, which one do I like the best? Oh, my lordy. This is a really difficult one. The only thing that I would... can I just digress for a moment?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I want it to be faster.
Which one? Both?
Both.
Really?
Yeah. Is it me that's just, you know, I've gone on really, really awesome roller coasters at Knott's Berry Farm and at Universal, and maybe going 36 miles per hour is a little bit tame for me now.
Well, you got to start somewhere. It's an in-between coaster.
It's not quite Goofy's Barnstormer, but it's not quite Everest. It's sort of pitched in the middle, I suppose. And it is a family-friendly ride. I think as to the favourite, I'm going to go for Disneyland just because of that lift hill sequence. Because I love the fact you're chasing up the fuse and there's the explosions. There's the steam and flame effect at the top. I love that. However, Walt Disney World has got a better sort. It's got a nice story with the little bits of theming in, and you can look down the mine shaft to see the little people down there. Disneyland.
All right. You vote Disneyland. For me, I'm just going to talk about just the ride experience itself.
Okay.
Comparing those two right off the bat. I find the Magic Kingdom version to be pretty average. Not really that thrilling, almost boring as a ride. You know, I could totally skip it without any problems. I actually think that I did last time I was there. It's like, I don't hate it. It's okay. But it wasn't one of my favorites as a ride. The Disneyland version as a ride is incredible. I think it's a completely different ride experience. Like, I think it's faster. I think there's more drops. I'm pretty sure it's even longer. It seems like it's longer. I mean, I could be wrong on that. But that's just my thoughts on it. But, wow. Like, I think the thrill factor is a lot higher on the Disneyland version. Did you notice that?
Oh, God, yeah. Out of the two, I feel more thrilled on Disneyland's version.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I was quite surprised when I went on it again when last time I was in Disneyland, being so used to the Magic Kingdom version. I was like, whoa, this is fun. But the main reason I even decided to go on the ride was because of the new effects that you just mentioned. The explosion scene, that was just incredible. That is a prime example of plussing something that probably didn't even need it, but it is so cool. There's also tributes to the attraction that was there before, Mine Train through Nature's Wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that that's cool. Now, I think that on the Magic Kingdom version, you said you could look down the mine shaft. That's in the queue, right?
Yeah, that's in the queue.
Yeah, that's a very fairly recent thing, and I don't think that I even experienced
that.
Yeah, that
was put in, I think, 2013, because it was new when I went there.
I believe that when I saw it, but the line didn't stop in front of it, so I didn't see what it was. So I didn't know how cool it is or isn't. I don't know. But so I didn't factor that in. But I mean, that's interesting, I guess. But I don't know. Hands down, Disneyland. Got to give it to Disneyland's Big Thunder Mountain. That is a great, great attraction.
Yeah.
Well, we have agreed on everything here, right?
Like minds. Or is it because I have just hypnotized you with my minxliness?
Oh, it might be that. But as our tally here is, we've got 3 for Disneyland and 1 for Walt Disney World.
Not bad. Can I sort of say something about the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad before we move on?
Sure.
I know that the ABC ordered a pilot based on the ride.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. 2013, it got pulled completely. It must have been so pants.
Yeah. It didn't sound like a good idea. It's, you know, I think it's hard to, I mean, Pirates is an example where it worked, sort of. But it's hard to take something that people already have an association with or a perception of and turn it into some other fictional being. You know, Pirates is the exception on that. You know, so it's, you know, if they want to do a Western, I mean, I get the idea. It's like, oh, we'll do a Western type show and we'll call it Big Thunder Mountain Railroad so that when people go to the parks, they'll think that this is an attraction based on that show or movie or whatever. So I get the thought process on that, but you know, it's, I don't know. I don't think it would have been really fulfilling as parks fans, because there's really no, you know, there is a story, there is a backstory to it, but do you really care about that when you're riding the ride?
Nah.
You know, you just want to go fast and see explosions.
Yeah, that's why I say it needs to be a little bit faster for me, because I suppose you can go on, say, a test track over at Epcot and go over 60 miles an hour, so come on, they can give it a bit more juice.
They can, but you know, it's like the training coaster, the Magic Kingdom one. I would say it's for kids that are not quite ready to go on Everest. But I wouldn't say that about the Disneyland version, because I, like I said, I was so caught off guard on how thrilling it was.
Does it make a difference to you whether you ride it nighttime or daytime?
I think it does. I was literally just thinking that when my last Disneyland ride was at night. And I think that really added to it, especially going in and out of the caves. But then also not really seeing too much ahead of you either, because during the day you could clearly see all of the track. But at night, a lot of it's not lit up. So
yeah,
you can't really see what you're doing. And that adds to the fun.
Yeah. I am quite intrigued to see the Paris version of this, because many of my friends who have been to Paris, Orlando, Anaheim have said Paris knocks it out of the park, because you literally go under the water to go to an island where the ride actually goes round, and then you go back under the lake again. And my friends have said, go on that at night. It is absolutely awesome. So I can't wait. And obviously, I'm just so giddy about it because of that.
That sounds great. I actually very recently listened to the Season Pass podcast, where they have this series of interviews with Tony Baxter, and I listened to that very recently, like last week, and he was talking about that in particular. you know, because about because he was involved a lot in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
And that experience and how it's on its own little island and you go underwater. I'd imagine that that's probably fun. We'll have to report back and see if it's a fun ride. We know it looks cool.
Yeah, it could be rubbish in the real life, but we'll see.
Well, actually, very, very interested to hear about your trip to Disneyland Paris as a whole and see what creepiness lies in there. So we'll have to bring you back on to kind of let all us non Disneyland Paris attendees, I don't know what to call us.
Americans.
Let all us Americans and whoever.
You lovely, lovely people.
We have international listeners. We get listens from countries where they don't speak English at all, and thanks for listening. I don't know. But, you know.
It just goes to show creepiness holds no bars.
It does not. Hopefully, I look forward to kind of continuing this conversation of Disneyland versus Walt Disney World attractions on your show.
Definitely, definitely. Awesome. We will do more of this. I think it has been such good fun to compare and contrast some of the rides that we love. And it's not like we say the one in Walt Disney World isn't very good or the one in Disneyland isn't very good. It's just that we have a preference.
Right.
You know, they're both awesome rides. Like, I would happily ride any of those rides. You know, so it's just nice that you can have preferences, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's especially the things we've talked about, there's clear differences. So it's fun to talk about what you like about and dislike about the differences. But, you know, when it's not like because I prefer one, I'm refuse to go on the other.
I'm never going to go on It's a Small World ever in Walt Disney World ever again.
That's an interesting one to compare. I mean, well, that's another thing too, because they have the characters in the Disneyland one, so that's probably the main difference there.
That's for another show though.
Yeah, I know, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right. So, Michelle, people would like to find you on social media and check out your show. How do they do that?
Well, thank you, James. Well, I'm on a plethora of places. My own podcast I host with a friend of mine, Jane Phipps, is called The Disney Dream Girls. And we can be found by just searching simply Disney Dream Girls. We'll pop up in iTunes, podcast app, Stitcher Radio, all of those wonderful places. Twitter, we're down on @DisDreamGirls. We have a Facebook page. Again, just search for us by name. I curiously am on another podcast. I'm a bit of a podcast junkie at the moment, called The E-Avengers. And we release a weekly show where there's myself and three other podcast teams from different podcasts. We get together and we have a critical, friendly banter about things we find in the news or things that we just want to chat about. So look for us under The Avengers as well.
Excellent. Yeah, I love listening to that show. I always want to chime in, but no one's listening to me. You guys don't hear me.
Tweet us, James. Tweet us.
Okay, I'll tweet. Because I was like, oh, I totally agree, or I completely disagree, and I say it, but no one talks back to me. You guys are completely ignoring me. I don't get how podcasts work. I thought you guys could hear me.
Only in my head, James.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
My pleasure.
Thanks again to Michelle, her minxliness, for coming on the show. It's about time to wrap this one up, but before we do, I want to tell you, if you want to get in touch with the show, especially if you're one of those people that prefers the Magic Kingdom Pirates over Disneyland, you can email the show at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you would like to check out any of our other podcasts, the Even James the Podcast podcast, Roxy's World, and Curvy Cutie Chat, all you need to do is go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art
pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest. All you need to do is go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time,
keep it creepy.
I have had a go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams. Ha 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 ha